Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to present before you the understanding of the 10 Meccan surahs of the very last group of Quranic surahs. This last, the seventh group of Quranic surahs, although it talks about all the important subjects that have been touched upon by the Quran in its other groups, like Tawheed, unity of God, like prophethood, the Wahi, divine revelation, the understanding of the life hereafter. Yet what seems to be the most predominant theme of this group of surahs is Inzar, that is, warning to the people that the punishment of the Almighty in the form of a worldly wrath through natural calamities or through the hands and swords of the believers is round the corner, and that it is a prelude to the ultimate destruction and punishment in the life hereafter. This is something which no sane individual can ever ignore, and therefore all humans better be warned that the punishment is going to meet them as a fate if they're not going to improve their behavior. This warning, Inzar, is the focus of attention of all surahs belonging to this particular group. The group begins with Surah Al-Mulk, which at the very beginning clarifies that the Almighty created death and life so that He may test as to who amongst you are pious and the ones doing good deeds. And then goes on to describe that the people who would be disbelievers and who would ultimately be declared as criminals in the hereafter, they'll be asked this question by the angels of the hell as to why are they being consigned to hell. Was it not that they were warned clearly by the messengers of God? And the criminals would admit that they were warned, and yet they did not pay heed to the warnings that were given to them. And the Quran clarifies that the criminals would admit on the day of judgment that had they heard or had they contemplated and reflected properly on the message that was delivered to them, they would not have been consigned to the hellfire. Also, the Quran clarifies that the people who are not behaving properly in this worldly life are the ones who are doing so because they're not paying heed to the messengers, the messages of the messengers. They are the ones who are bent upon denying it, no matter whatever be the contents. They are people who, like beasts, who are worried about only one thing, and that is their worldly, earthly needs. Like animals, they look down towards the floor, towards the dust, to look for their needs and the products that are going to satisfy their needs. They're not the ones who are inclined to use their intellects so as to enable them to look at the higher purposes of life. Surah Qalam also partners with Surah Al-Mulk to describe the same theme. The difference is that in this particular surah, the Almighty has mentioned that on the one hand, in the society of Mecca, there is this messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, who has a very high character and is the noblest of the noble. And on the other hand are his enemies, who are the meanest people of all. And here is a contest which many people of Mecca are witnessing. And ultimately, it is going to culminate in the Prophet and his companions prevailing over their enemies. The Quran asks this question in the surah as to how could it be ever possible that the people who are righteous, the people who follow the right path, would be equated with those who are criminals just by requiring all of them to meet with death, and no further life is going to be given to them. In other words, the Quran clarifies that the life hereafter is a moral necessity. If there is a God and the God is concerned about what people are doing, good or bad, then it is but necessary that there should be a life hereafter wherein people are adequately rewarded and adequately punished for whatever they are doing. This pair of two surahs is followed by another pair, which is surahs Al-Haqqah and Al-Ma'arij. In Al-Haqqah, the Almighty is clarifying that the punishment to the disbelievers is a foregone conclusion. It is something which is destined to happen. And examples are given of a few messengers who delivered their messages, and after they had delivered their messages clearly, there was this denial and rejection from their respective nations, and ultimately they were punished in this very life, and most certainly they are going to be punished in the hereafter as well. The allegations of the disbelievers on Prophet Muhammad, Allah's mercy be on him, that God forbid he was a poet, or his message was a message of a soothsayer, such allegations have been rejected, and it has been clarified that what the Prophet is delivering to the people is nothing but the message of God brought to him by a noble angel. This surah is followed by Surah Al-Ma'arij, which is primarily clarifying the fact that people who are rejecting the message of the messenger by asking him to bring forth the punishment immediately, if the understanding of the punishment was a true understanding and a correct warning. The Quran says that God Almighty is in no hurry to inflict his punishment on the enemies. For him, the length of a day could be as long as 50,000 years. And his days are not the days of our calculation. He decides on the basis of his own long plans. And therefore, if after rejecting the messenger of God, a nation continues to survive for a few years, that is not a big deal. Because to God, a few years doesn't really mean anything but the passing on of a few seconds. Surah Al-Ma'arij is then followed by another pair of surahs, which is Surah Nuh and Surah Al-Jinn. In Surah Nuh, the Almighty has clarified that this demand on the part of the disbelievers to be inflicted with the punishment immediately is baseless, because at times history shows clearly that there have been messengers of God, like Nuh alayhis salam, who have delivered the message of God over a period of 950 years, and it was only after that period had lapsed that the punishment of the Almighty was inflicted upon the enemies of the messengers. Nuh alayhis salam delivered his message to the best of his abilities, night and day, in isolation with people, them being alone with him, and in public, in gatherings of large attendance. And despite all these efforts, despite all his sincere urgings, the disbelievers who were not inclined to accept the message never believed. And the end result was that after the culmination of the period that the Almighty had set forth for the nation, for the delivery of message, after it had culminated, the messenger of God, he prayed to the Almighty for the destruction of his nation. And it was then that the nation was destroyed by a huge flood that overtook a large part of this globe. This surah is followed by Surah Al-Jinn, which is indicating the fact that although the message of Quran was brought for humans, and especially for the people of Mecca, in whose language the contents of the Quran have been expressed, yet, because the people of Mecca were not inclined and interested in accepting the truth, they were deprived of the privilege of becoming believers. On the other hand, a relatively irrelevant group of jinns, who were not the direct addressees of the Quran, when they were given to hear the message of the Quran while they were passing by the place where the Prophet alayhis salam was reciting the Quran, they immediately accepted the message. And not only did they do so, they went back to their respective, to their peoples, and they preached the message of the Quran to other people as well. And this has been mentioned so as to indicate to the people of Mecca that they are so very unfortunate in not valuing the Quranic message as much as it deserved. And they rejected the message. But the Quran is such a glorious, effective, and valuable work of the Almighty that the people, no matter whether humans or jinns, when they come across the message of the Quran, they cannot stop themselves from believing in it and from preaching its message to others. Surah Jinn is followed by two surahs, which again are forming a pair. They are Surah Al-Muzammil and Surah Al-Muddathir. Al-Muzammil is a surah which requires the Prophet, Allah's mercy be on him, to incline before the Almighty, to pray to him during night time, and to seek help from him in all the difficult situations that he was confronting and was about to confront. So that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, had a very important task of delivering the message to the people. He used to face difficulties, he used to face opposition, he used to hear things which were negative, which were causing difficulties for him, because he was not expecting such reactions from the people of his nation. The Almighty required the Prophet to seek guidance, to seek strength and support from the Almighty through prayers, in particular through the morning prayer, the prayer of Tahajjud. And this is, it seems, what the Prophet did all along his life. And not only he, but his other companions also followed him, because they too were keen to ensure that they lend a helping hand to the Prophet in his mission of delivering the message of God to the people whom they come across. Surah Al-Muzammil is followed by Surah Al-Muddathir, which is a partner surah of Al-Muzammil. And in this surah, the Almighty requires the Prophet to declare the message that was delivered to him through his angels. In other words, Surah Al-Muzammil is the spiritual preparation, is a requirement from the Prophet to spiritually prepare himself for receiving the message and for preparing himself to face the difficulties and adversities that are going to follow when he's going to deliver the message to the humans, to the mankind. Surah Muddathir is the actual requirement to the messenger that message should now be declared before the mankind, so that whoever wants to accept should accept it, and those who are not worthy of believing properly are deprived of the privilege of believing in the Quran and its message. It mentions the attributes, the weaknesses, and the conduct and character of the people who did not get the privilege of accepting the Quranic message. The Quran is pretty clear about the fact the message of it can only be accepted by the people who are worthy of accepting its message. Not everybody will get the privilege of accepting it. It's only those whose character is befitting, is worthy, that are going to get the privilege of appreciating the beauty, the effect of the Quran, the purity of its message, and they are going to follow it properly. So that the character of such people has been described in Surah Al-Muddathir. And the Quran clarifies to the Prophet and his followers that they should not worry about what the people are saying and what they are doing. They should be worried about their own conduct, their own approach, and ultimately the Almighty is going to make sure that the message is delivered properly, and that those people who are worthy of accepting the message, they get the privilege of doing so, and they are given the strength in this life and the reward in the hereafter. These two surahs are followed by another pair of two surahs, Surah Al-Qiyamah and Surah Ad-Dahr. Surah Al-Qiyamah is describing the fact that Qiyamah, the life hereafter, the day of judgment and resurrection, is a reality. And in order to prove that reality, the Almighty presents the human conscience as an evidence, as a proof of the fact that there is bound to be a life hereafter. So that the Quran says, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. That is, I swear upon, I take oath, I present as an evidence and witness the day of judgment, and I present as a witness the human conscience, the conscience which pricks, which condemns when one does anything wrong, and which celebrates and which gets satisfied and content when one does something good, something desirable. The idea is that if the Creator has instilled within us the ability to appreciate what is good and the ability to condemn what is bad, and this is something which is coming from inside us, how could it be possible that the same Creator is not prepared to ensure that the end result of this feeling is not arranged? In other words, if good is good and bad is undesirable, how could it be possible that the Almighty is not going to ensure that those who do good are adequately rewarded and those who do otherwise are properly punished? So that the Quran says that the day of judgment is bound to happen. Human beings know what is good from what is bad, yet they at times deny it because they are overwhelmed by the desires of the worldly temptations that are in the offing right before their eyes. The Almighty says that people have forgotten their death and the life after death, and they are totally obsessed with the worldly life, which is immediately rewarding. That's the only advantage of the worldly life, and that is because it is immediately available, it gives you rewards and it gives you punishments and failures as an immediate consequence of one's attitude, one's performance. However, that doesn't really mean that this is the only life. In fact, human conscience, as described in the Quran, is a proof of the fact that the life hereafter is bound to happen. And all those people who are interested in their ultimate success in the future would do well to make sure that they follow the understanding of the life hereafter in this present worldly life. They lead a balanced life. They are not overwhelmed by their love and affection for the worldly temptations, and they make sure that they are following what their conscience is requiring them to follow. The Almighty has given the understanding of the time of death when it reaches an individual. It is the time when he is helpless, when no amount of relationship with relatives or friends comes to his rescue. He is a helpless creature who is about to leave this world, and that is what one should always remember while leading this life, because death is something which is bound to overcome all individuals. Surah Al-Qiyamah is followed by Surah Ad-Dahr, which is again mentioning the fact that God Almighty has given this freedom to humans after enabling them to know what is right from what is wrong. And this freedom has been provided so that man is tested as to whether he chooses to be inclined, he chooses to go for what is good, and he chooses whether he chooses to go for what is bad. And of course, this choice, this freedom has not been given by the Almighty for no reason. It is because of this freedom that ultimately it's going to be decided as to who are the people who will be successful in ensuring that what they are doing is making them truly acceptable, and people who are applauded and ultimately rewarded by the Almighty. And the Almighty mentions that the fact is that He is going to bring forth a day when there is going to be adequate punishment and arrangements for punishment made available for those who do not value God Almighty's blessings and the freedom that He has made available for the purpose of trial. And most certainly, there is going to be adequate compensation for all those people who take this life seriously as a trial, and they take the freedom that has been given to them by the Almighty to make sure that they employ it properly and effectively. Surah Ad-Dahr gives a description of the paradise, the world that the Almighty has created with a lot of care, and the world that when he describes it in a manner that it seems that he is taking pride in talking of its beauties, its luxuries, its aura of contentment and satisfaction. And he says in Surah Ad-Dahr that these blessings in the form of flowing rivers, in the form of food, in the form of companions, in the form of shades, in the form of what eyes are going to witness of in different objects of beauty, of color, of attractive blessings, all these things are going to be provided to the people who would ultimately be declared winners and befitting to get those rewards. At the end of the message, at the end of the surah, the Almighty mentions that the Prophet is required to deliver this message to the people and to remind them through it that the life to come is bound to appear. However, he also clarifies that although the life is bound to appear, there are people who are disinclined. And those who are not inclined, they can never be guided. Guidance of the true path will be provided by the Almighty to only those people who would be found worthy of receiving it, of valuing it, of taking it seriously. Because God Almighty does not allow anybody who is not interested in His message to get the benefit of appreciating its beauty and to get the all-important satisfaction of knowing it from inside that it's from God. God Almighty is only going to allow those people to get guided who would want to be guided, who are interested in getting guided. And therefore, at the end of Surah Ad-Dahr, the Almighty says that, O Prophet, it is not you who is going to decide as to who gets guided and who doesn't get guided. It is only Allah who is going to decide about it. And Allah knows the people who are worthy of being given guidance, and He knows people who are not worthy of being given guidance. Because it is only Allah whose knowledge is all comprehensive. He knows what we do, and He knows what we think, what our intentions are. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the message of the Quran properly, and may He enable us to follow it to the best of our abilities.